So, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, so when Rav Dovi asked me to speak, I was trying to think, what would be the most relevant topic for you guys right here in your year at this point of the year? And I also wanted to find something that was connected to the Parsha. You know, whatever's happening in the Parsha is really what's happening in our lives. So I thought maybe I'll talk about Aliyah, right? After all, Lech Lecha, you know, 2,000 years, dreaming for the land of Israel. And it's so easy to make Aliyah. Nowadays, I can tell you some personal stories. You know, there's a story about a Hasidic Rebbe, a modern Hasidic Rebbe, who got to the land of Israel and didn't feel anything special. So what did he do? He fasted 40 days. And then, I think he drank at night or something. And then he said he felt it. The story about Rav Kook, when he was the chief rabbi of Israel, when he was on a ride to Tel Aviv, and the car broke down. So what did everyone do? This guy got coffee, this guy got some ice cream, and they couldn't find Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. Where was Rav Kook? He went to plant some trees with his free time, and he was hugging the earth and saying, Eretz HaKadosha, the Holy Land, the Holy Land. He loved Eretz Yisrael. So I thought, maybe I'll talk to you about Aliyah. Then I thought to myself, nah, too early in the year. You know, we'll save it for Yom HaTzmaut. We're not ready for that. So I thought, all right, maybe I'll talk to them about Tefillah. After all, we learn from this week's Parsha, Avraham Avinu, he's davening for Sdom. It's the first time the gates of Tefillah are opened. So maybe we'll talk about Tefillah. You know, Rabbi Nachman says that all of his spiritual elevations, they only came through Tefillah, through talking to God. He'd go to do it. And they say about the Lubavitcher Rebbe that his Tefillah on the high holidays, this is witnessed by many, would literally last 5-6 hours, crying. There was like a bucket full of tears. They say about Rav Kook that his everyday Shacharis was like more tears than like our Ne'ilah, like his regular Shacharis. Then I thought to myself, nah, Tefillah, it's kind of, everyone talks about that, kind of cliche. So I thought, what else can I talk to them about? I thought, maybe, this is like unique, this is different. I'll talk to them about this concept of Magen Avraham, of Hashem protects us. Because you look in the Parsha, Avraham Avinu is this crazy battle, 4 wars versus 5 wars. And in the end, Avraham calls Hashem his shield, his Magen. And this is where we get this concept that Hashem is our shield. He's a Magen Avraham. When I was in the army, I felt like closer to God than any other situation in my life. You know, there's a story about the Briska Rav. There's an idea from the Nefesh HaChaim that he writes that if you think upon yourself, Ein od milvado, there's nothing except Hashem, nothing bad can happen to you. So the Briska Rav said this idea saved his life. When he was in Poland, he was trying to get out of Nazi Germany, and it was almost impossible, but he kept thinking, Ein od milvado, there's nothing except God, there's nothing except God, nothing except God. And somehow he got through all of the Nazi guards. And then he stopped thinking about it a little bit. And like almost immediately a Nazi guard like popped up and was like examining the car. And he went back, Ein od milvado, there's nothing except Hashem. There's nothing except Hashem. And boom, the Nazi got out of there. And that's how he survived the war. And truth is, I try this sometimes. I would say, don't try it at home. Definitely try this one at home. I was just on a tiul, got lost with my wife on Tuesday. We were totally lost. I said, Ein od milvado, I was singing the song. And like 10 minutes later, we were saved. The police got us out of there. It was awesome. But I thought, nah, that's too spiritual. Whatever, it was a whole story. We'll talk about that story another time. It was a good story. The point is, nah, they're not ready for that yet. Too spiritual. I don't want to talk about that yet. So I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll talk about a topic that's very close to my heart. Love. Chesed. Avraham Avinu is the first person to show love to the world. And he gave up everything, all of his money. Hashem said, Lech Lecha, leave all your money, leave all of your fame, do what I want, be Moser Nefer for the Jewish people. You know, there's a story that it reminds me of. There's Rav Shlomo Carlbach was asked to do a concert in Buffalo. And he was broke at the time, as he usually was, because he gave away all of his money to poor people. So they really were desperate, and he needed the money. So he said, Gevalt, it's an amazing miracle. I happen to be able to do this concert for you on Lag BaOmer. I would just kind of really need all the money that comes in. I'm just broke right now. So they said, of course, no problem. You're doing us an amazing favor. He did the concert. It was awesome. Tens of people were makariv and became Baalei Tshuva because of that concert in Buffalo. And they gave all the money. It was $5,000 that he desperately needed to Rav Shlomo. It was a big sum of money back then. And then a Chabadnik comes up to Rav Shlomo and says, Shlomo, I need a bracha for Shalom Bayis. So Shlomo says, why do you need a bracha like that for Shalom Bayis? And he said, well, ever since I became a Baal Tshuva, I started keeping Shabbos. I lost my job. Nobody will get me a job. And me and my wife are fighting all the time. I'm broke. Shlomo, without a thought of hesitation, takes out all the money that he desperately needed. And he gave it to this guy on the spot. He said, you're sacrificing for Shabbos. You need this money more than I do. And he gave the money. No one saw this except one eyewitness that happened to witness it. But then I was thinking, nah, next week. I don't know. I wasn't there. But what I can tell you is, I don't think he was married at the time. I'm pretty sure. In any case, I thought, nah, Rav Shlomo yard sites next week. I'll be telling Rav Shlomo stories the whole rest of the year. I'm not going to talk. Anyway, you guys all are like the kindest yeshiva of the world. You guys are all Baalei Chesed, Baalei Ava. So I don't need to give you guys a mussar about that. So I think, what can I give you a mussar about? What do you guys need to hear at this point of the year? So I thought of a good story that I think is really relevant. There's a guy named Joey. And this Joey is an awesome dude. Really cool. I was going through some hard times. He's a really good looking dude. And he was working in a house and he meets this girl. And she's cute. And there's a lot of chemistry there. There's just one little problem. Now you guys, your eyes are popping. One little problem. She's a taken. And Joey knows that it's the wrong thing to do to pursue this. But she's trying. She's trying so hard. And Joey knows, but he wants to do what his taiva tells him to do. He wants to give in to his taiva, but he knows the right thing to do is to resist. And he resists. Yosef HaTzadik decides he's not going to sleep with Eshet Potiphar no matter what happens. He's going to be true to himself. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we stay true to ourselves when we're in a world of desire? Has anyone ever had like a tug of war inside themselves where they want to do one thing? Their taiva says A, but they know the right thing is B. Anybody here ever have that situation? Yeah? Okay, good. I'm not alone. So how do we do that? How do we overcome that our struggles? How did Yosef HaTzadik do it? Joey was Yosef HaTzadik. Yeah. So I want to tell you another story that I think could answer the question. So there's a Gevaldik movie called Lion King. And there's a great scene where Simba is told by Rafiki, who's this monkey, funny monkey. And Rafiki tells Simba that his father's still alive. And Simba says, no, my father's dead. And then Rafiki says, no, come with me. And it's like music, and they take him to the river, and he looks in the river, and who does Simba see? He sees his father. And what does Rafiki say? He says, he's in you. Your father, he's in you. In other words, if Simba looks deep inside himself, the vision of his father, and he sees his father's image in the water, he's still there. And the Midrash says that Yosef HaTzadik, how did he resist giving in to his Yetzer Hara? He saw the dmut yokno of his father. He saw his father's image. And he said, how can I let down my father? He had a role model of his father, and he didn't want to let him down because his father was a part of him. His father was in him. So I want to take a little bit of time, the next 5-10 minutes, to talk about role models and their importance. But I want to start with a story. You haven't noticed. I like gadol stories. A gadol story a day keeps the Yetzer Hara away. That's what I think. It's a joke, but I think it's true. So listen, when I was a little kid, I loved gadol stories. I still love gadol stories. And I grew up on these Rav Moshe Feinstein art school books and the Stipler and Rav Chaim Kanievsky and all these really Haredi, awesome tzaddikim that we all know and love. Not all of them. Some more Haredi, some less. But basically, they're awesome. And I love them. And it was weird because most of my friends were like watching MTV. And, you know, I also watched a lot of sports, but like kind of obsessing about Michael Jordan and all that stuff. And I was, it didn't make sense to me because I kind of felt like life is like this. We are all sponges. That's just how Hashem built us. And human beings absorb what's around them. That's what we do. Some a little less, some a little more, but that's what happens. And like, who's going to be my like role models in life? Is it going to be a guy who's really, who's going to help me overcome my challenges? I'll put it like that. Like LeBron James is really awesome in basketball. He's really good. And he's a good guy. I got no beef with LeBron. But if I'm struggling with whether I should wake up for Shacharis or not, like envisioning LeBron will not like get me there so much, you know? If I'm struggling with whether I should get angry at my friend or not or overcome my Yetzer Hara, like thinking of a Moshe Feinstein story and how Moshe didn't get angry when somebody spilled ink all over his favorite set of a Gemara, that's going to inspire me. Not like thinking about that MTV video, like the superstars. And the truth is, like, whatever you're watching, that's what you are. That's what you become. Like, it just trickles into our brain subconsciously, not consciously necessarily, but what we're watching and what we're seeing, what's around us, that's who our role models are. And that's who we're going to aspire to be like. And so that's why personally, it's a little bit of a joke, but I love to teach Gadol stories. And I think it's really important for guys and gals to try to, every once in a while, maybe every day if you can, one story to inspire you of who I can yearn to be. Not to worship them, it's not even about them. It's not about, wow, they did a big miracle. But because it affects me. When I learn about them, it inspires me to be a different type of person. You get it? It's not about them. When I was 18, just about this week, it was on the yard site, so it was probably this week or next week, I found my gadol, the gadol that I felt most was connected to my neshama. I remember there was a yard site tish. And then afterwards, I heard about this guy named Shlomo Karlbach, who I never heard about before. And I was inspired by the story that the rabbi said. So I went up to the Hakotel Beis Medrash, I remember, and I found this book, Holy Brother. And that night, I think I read the whole thing, cover to cover. It, mamish, changed my life, as Zosha says. And the reason that I really connected to Rav Shlomo personally, because it wasn't just another rabbi that learned Torah nonstop or was very sensitive or had great midos, like all the other gadolim. But it's something that I just felt on a day-to-day level, on an action level, this is the type of person that I want to be. Someone that walks around and gives everyone a hug. Someone that tries to light up every person that they meet. Someone that just, it's all about love. And that was like, wow, that's who I want to be. I remember after I read that book, I literally left the base at the library and I went to the Heritage House in the Old City. I was like, I want to do Kiruv. Can I teach a class? And they're like, you play guitar? I'm like, not yet, but I'll learn. They're like, come back when you learn. So it took a couple of years. But the point is that I found someone that personally helped inspire the way that I wanted to live. In other words, it's not about him. I don't really care if he's a tzaddik or a rush. It makes no difference. It's about me. If reading that story inspires me to be a better person, then I want to read about that story a little bit every day. So that was part one. I think it's good to have Dolim in our lives. Part two. This will be quick. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Asel lecha rav." Yeshua ben Parachya says, "Asel lecha rav uknei lecha chaver ve'vedan et kol adam lekavsku." Make yourself a rabbi. And have a, make yourself a friend. Later, it also says, "Asel lecha rav yistalek min asafek." Make yourself a rabbi, so you won't have any shailas. You have a halachic shaila, you call your rabbi. But here in Mishnah Vav, Rav Yeshua is teaching us a big, big principle that you guys need to know right now in your year. And the principle is, you have to make yourself a rabbi. Don't wait for the rabbi to chase after you. Asel lecha rav. You need to make yourself a rabbi. I remember when I was in Shana Aleph, I made this mistake. I was very, very focused in yeshiva in learning Hebrew and steiging as much as possible. And I didn't really have time for rabbis or those questions. all I cared about is learning Hebrew and learning a lot of Torah, which was great. So I switched into the Israeli program right away, but I had no relationship with almost any of the Rebbeim. And I regret it to this day, because I lost something fundamental in my year, which was a deep relationship. Later on, Baruch Hashem, I went back and I reconnected, and it was good. I learned Hebrew. I made Aliyah because of it. But I don't want you guys to make that mistake. I want you guys to, already in the beginning of the year, don't wait till the end of the year, like probably most guys will. Don't wait till the end of the year to ask for that chavruta from your rabbi or from your Shana Bet guy. Because tachlis, that's why the rabbis are here. That's why we stay late. That's why the Shana Bet guys are around. That's why you're either, that's why we're here, because we want to make that relationship with you. That's why we went into chinuch, because we care about you and we want to share and we want to help and we want to coach you and help you grow. And just like if you want to have be a successful basketball team, everybody needs, you need a coach. You want to grow, you need a coach to hold you accountable, to check in with you, to make sure that, to share your wisdom, right? And to just be there for you. So too, that's the idea of a rabbi. But a lot of times people are timid, people are scared, they don't want to reach out, they want whatever, they're waiting for the rabbi to chase after them. But I'm telling you guys right now, A, you need role models in your life. Everyone needs role models, and that's why you should go find yourself a rabbi. And B, you need that connection. You need that life coach. You need that friend, and we want to be there for you. So don't wait till the end of the year. Already now, start reaching out. And I want to ask you guys for something daring. You don't have to do this. I'm just, for those who want to, you can take out your phones. I know you're all riveted, so you don't want to. But you're allowed to take out your phones. Send a WhatsApp or an email to your favorite rabbi who you want to kind of connect to and maybe make a chavrusa with, or want to come to him for a Shabbos meal or something like that. But you've been a little timid, and you know, it's early in the year. You're still feeling it out. And send a text and say, hey, can we set up a chavrusa or something like that? And or just pretend like you're texting to make me feel good. Stop. It's fine. Okay, one last note, because I want to leave on a practical level. I know what some of you guys are feeling. Some of you guys are thinking, no, I'm scared to reach out to rabbis. Rabbis, they want me to be frum, and I don't want to disappoint them. You know, I'm not ready for that stuff yet. But remember, the mission doesn't just say asel l'charab. The mission says asel l'charab u'knel l'chachaver. Buy yourself a rabbi, make yourself a rabbi, and you'll also get yourself a friend. That's what I believe. That's my pshat. In other words, in this generation, especially the rebbeim in this yeshiva, if you get yourself a rabbi, we're not just here to make you frum. We're not just here to get you to shachar, otherwise we don't care about you. At least I can say for myself, I have genuine students who are no longer religious and no longer keeping as much as I would like them to be keeping, but I care about them and love them and want to be there for them, because that's what a Rebbe is, I think, someone who loves you. Like Rav Cook said, if your son's going off the derech, what do? You love him more. So whether you're becoming more frum or less frum, and hopefully more frum, but it doesn't really matter. I think I speak for most of the Rebbeim that we just want to be there for you to help you grow in your own way. So practically speaking, my Musar message for you all is one, Gadol story a day keeps the Yetzer Hara away.
Can you recommend a place to read Gadol stories?
Oh, that's a great idea. There's a whole section of the Beis Medrash, which is all Gadol stories, and the problem with a lot of people don't like Gadol stories because you have to read the whole book. It takes a lot of patience. But they have these great books called Around the Maggid's Table. There's like five sections.
We have
four of them. Yeah, we have like, I'm saying, we have four here. And there's all
three here because someone took one to their room. I'm not naming them.
Okay. Whatever. But they're like just one second vignettes, like one page, and you get an awesome. He did all the work of like reading through all the biographies, and he just gives you all these awesome stories. And plus, I'll be saying Gadol stories sometimes. And yeah, there's a lot of great books out there that can hopefully go out and find your Gadol and find your role model, and then go out there and be a role model. Because all of us are really role models. Oh, yeah, guys, y'all should throw off.
If you want to do a
rabbi,
go. That's right, I missed it. Yeah.